Reading through the book of Psalms 121, verses 1 to 8. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, the one who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor by the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever.
Thank you so much, Danielle. Oh, isn't Psalm 121 just so beautiful? In fact, I think it's one of the most well-known Psalms in all of the Bible, and it's just so poetically beautiful. So I'm super excited that today this is the Psalm that we get to talk about. Now, it is the second song in the Songs of Ascent, and we know that as we go through the 15 Songs of Ascent, we are going upwards or ascending towards something. Now, all of these songs follow on from each other like steps. And one of the thoughts is that the Israelites would have sung one of these songs on each of the 15 steps that were in the temple, which they would have walked up to meet with God. But another thought is that the Israelites would have sung these songs on their pilgrimage journey, which they would have made to celebrate their three great feasts. Now, these songs and the Psalms in general have poetic language and they are used for worship. So the Israelites would have been worshipping on the way. Now, when we think of the Israelites singing these songs as they make their pilgrimage upwards towards Jerusalem to celebrate their feasts, we can really begin to put this psalm into context. We know that Jerusalem is a city on a hill, and in fact, geographically, it is the highest point in all of Palestine. So it didn't matter from which direction the Israelites were traveling, they would have had to ascend towards Jerusalem. They would have had to be going up to get there. So if we put ourselves in the shoes of those singing this song on their journey of pilgrimage, it makes these beautiful and poetic words really come alive. They literally would have been lifting their eyes up towards the mountains as they were singing this song. Now, we in Scotland are absolutely spoilt for choice when it comes to mountains, aren't we? We really don't have to go very far from outside our house to see them. In fact, I can see some from my window upstairs. We are really spoiled. And I think there is a reason why Scotland has been voted the most beautiful country in the world, and that is because it is the most beautiful country in the world. Now, you might think I'm biased, but I'm not. It is. It's just so beautiful. And people travel from all over the world to come and see our rugged landscapes and our breathtaking scenery. I think God really pulled out all the stops when he made Scotland. Now, our family really loved to climb hills and climb up mountains, but this was not always the case for me. This kind of happened by accident because Ryan and I found ourselves in a position. We had three boisterous and boys who were just full of energy. At the same time, we didn't have very much money. So we had to think of things to entertain our boys, and we started to take them out into sort of the countryside on these walks, and we discovered something. This is a win-win situation for us. It doesn't cost any money and it tires our three boys out. So we just kept doing it. And before long, we caught the bug and we just loved it. And it became part of our family and part of who we are and what we love to do. It fills up our tanks. But I could totally relate to these pilgrims because quite often something sort of funny happens when we're at the top of a mountain or we're literally in the middle of nowhere. somebody in our family will just burst into a spontaneous worship song. They just start singing a song that we maybe sing here in church. It's not planned, but it just kind of bubbles up from within them, and then we all join in and we're walking along singing our hearts out to God. I think it's because when you're outside in nature, when you're outside and you see God's workmanship and his creation, it makes you feel close to your creator and you just can't help but worship him. Now, if you can imagine this, you can really feel what the pilgrims would have felt as they were going on their journey. They are singing what they are actually seeing and experiencing. Now, when I was researching for this talk, I thought of our family and our pilgrimages singing to God, and I felt like we're just like the ones who've gone before us. It's kind of like we're walking in their footsteps. That this ascent was not just a literal one. They weren't just physically going upwards, but there was a sort of spiritual going upwards as well. But as much as being in the outdoors and looking up to the mountains may inspire worship, this psalm actually tells us we are not to look to the mountains for our help. Now, the great thing about this psalm is that the writer asks a question, but then he answers it for us. I like that sort of thing. So he says, he looks up to the mountains and he says, "Where does my help come from?" And then he answers it in the next line. Easy. He says, "My help comes from the Lord, from Yahweh, the maker of heaven and earth." Now, this little phrase, "maker of heaven and earth," really puts things into perspective. This is talking about the Creator God, our God, Elohim. Now, this phrase, "maker of heaven and earth," can be found in the Hebrew Bible 5 times. And all 5 of those times are found in the Psalms. And 3 out of 5 of those times are actually found in the Songs of Ascent. And we know from other parts of the Bible that traveling to Jerusalem could actually be a pretty dangerous affair. You could be attacked, or if your foot slipped and you injured yourself, the blazing sun could have really been fatal. Now, we also don't know what lies ahead on our road. And just like the Israelites, as travellers on a journey that may be uncertain, I can understand why we would be reminding ourselves that our help comes from the maker of heaven and earth, the one who is greater than nature, the one who is greater than the elements, who holds the whole world in his hands. See, our help comes from the creator, not from creation. Mountains are indeed majestic and beautiful. They're wonderful to look at. In fact, look, I've hung a picture of one right there in my house. But they are not to be worshipped because they are created. There always comes a problem when we look to other created things to save us rather than look to God. We might look to creation itself. We might look to the stars or the moon. Or perhaps we might look to people to fix our problems. We might actually look at material wealth. Or maybe some of us are really into self-help books or the latest thinking or podcast. These things will never fully satisfy or give us the kind of help that we're actually looking for. And in the end, we realize that mountains are just mountains and people are just people. Now, I say this knowing full well that our fellow companions on our journey are the people who are around us, are precious, precious gifts from God. In fact, the Bible tells us 2 people are better than one. And in fact, if somebody slips, help them up. And if you slip, you can be helped up too. Friends and community are indeed precious gifts from the Lord, and they help us in our faith. But they are not God, and they'll never be able to fill this part of us. And what actually begins to happen is we get hurt and frustrated when we have that kind of expectation of others. There are ways that God can help us that people just cannot, they're just not able to. Now, in the context of these biblical times, the mountains were not just a symbol of strength, but actually there's something else that's going on here. Now, there were many pagan worshippers at this time, and often this kind of pagan worship was done at the top of a mountain, and they built shrines to their gods at the top of mountains. So when we hear the worshipper here, and he's talking about protection from the sun and the moon, like in verses 5 and 6 of this psalm, it actually says, "The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night." Now, here, the sunstroke or exhaustion that the psalmist is talking about is actually symbolizing our physical health. And when he's talking about harm from the moon at night, it's because many people of the day thought that the moon caused lunacy. And if you think about that word lunacy, it has the word luna in it, which is translated the moon. So this actually symbolizes our emotional health or our fears as well. Now, quite often when we are struggling emotionally, we see a lot of the moon because one of the first things that goes is our sleep. Now, many people of the day would have looked to the top of the mountains for help from maybe like a sun priest or a moon priestess to protect them from the dangers of the sun or the fear of the night. Now, this may have been what the traveller was looking for when they were looking up to the mountains. And we can see a picture of this in 1 Kings 18, verse 27. And this happens when Elijah is at the top of Mount Carmel. And the priests were trying their best to summon Baal. And let's read what happens. In verse 27 it says, "About noontime, Elijah began mocking them. 'You'll have to shout louder,' he scoffed, 'for surely he is a god. Perhaps he's daydreaming or is relieving himself. Or maybe he's away on a trip or is asleep and needs to be wakened.'" Here we see Baal, a god who needs rest just the same as you or me. He is a god who sleeps. This god cannot be trusted to answer his worshippers when they call because maybe he's sleeping or otherwise engaged. Elijah is mocking him here. But what do we learn from Psalm 121, from the psalm we're looking at, about Yahweh, the becoming present one, our God? Well, our God never slumbers. When we go on long journeys, and my husband Ryan is the driver, and he's driving for hours, I see it as my responsibility to make sure that he doesn't fall asleep. And I feel really guilty if I fall asleep, so I try my very best to stay awake. But unfortunately, for whatever reason, as soon as I get in the car, I just get so sleepy. I don't know if it's the noise or just the movement, but you know, your eyelids get really, really heavy and you're trying to like actually physically keep them open. And then I start to do the weird sort of your head kind of starts doing that weird thing. And then it gets really weird because I kind of drift, you know, that place halfway between being sleeping and awake. And then I just start to shout out like really random things like, "Watch out for the cow!" Or, I don't know, weird stuff. And poor Ryan, he's trying to drive us and keep us safe, but he's obviously startled when this crazy woman is shouting out random things at random times. So it actually completely defeats the purpose of me trying to keep us safe, because what happens is it's actually much more dangerous and more likely to make him crash. But I am with him, but I am not helping him because I am sleeping, or even worse, just not there for him at all. So we cannot underestimate the power of this promise. God is always with us. He's always with you. In Psalm 121 verse 4, it says, "He never slumbers or sleeps. He watches over you." So when we cry out, "Help," which is a prayer that I cry out often, and I'm sure you too, it's a very common prayer, who is it that we are looking to for our help? This actually follows on beautifully from last week's teaching from Kenny about repentance. When we realise the lie that the world will never make us whole and become truly sick of what the world has to offer, that's when we look for something new and we turn to God in repentance. And so after we turn to God with repentant hearts, what's next? Do we suddenly have no troubles in life? Do we find ourselves riding the best wave all the way to the finish line, skipping over any strife that this world may have to offer? Do we never again get sick or feel lonely? Are we living a conflict-free life where we just laugh heartily all day long? Are our children always delightful and are our jobs always secure? Do we just skip over pandemics and never have to walk in the rain? Well, no. That's just not the reality. And if anyone ever told you that when you were becoming a Christian, they were lying to you. Perhaps you find yourself in the situation where something has gone wrong and the rug has been pulled from under you. Now, many of us, I'm aware, will feel this right now. The things that we thought made us feel secure have been shaken. And maybe you have lost a loved one or lost a relationship, or maybe you've lost a secure job. And if this has happened to you, perhaps you have begun to believe the lie that so many of us believe, the lie that God must have abandoned us. He must have left us for maybe something more important or someone more important. Now, if you have ever had these thoughts, or if you are thinking these thoughts right now, I want to encourage you and tell you that that is not true. Here in the song, we are actually told the truth. It tells us the Lord keeps watch over you as you come and as you go, both now and forever. He tends us. He watches over us now and forever. And we do not have to wait for this promise to be fulfilled. It can happen now. Now, when we go for hill walks, we actually have quite a lot of the gear now. And of course, you need waterproofs if you are going for hill walks in Scotland. That is a must, it's a given. But we also need like good walking boots so that we can protect our ankles. But Ryan, he just got weak ankles. And most of the time when we're on the walk and we're in the middle of nowhere, he goes over on his ankle at some point in the walk. And when you're kind of like hours away from anyone and there's a huge drop at the side of the mountain, it can be quite frightening when this happens. Is this song telling us that in life we will never slip? Well, it does tell us that God will not let us stumble. What does this mean? Well, for this, I find this quote from Eugene Patterson really helpful. I'm going to read it to you. It says this: the promise of the psalm, and both the Hebrews and the Christians have always read it this way, is not that we shall never stub our toes, but that no injury, no illness, no accident, no distress will have evil power over us. That is, will be able to separate us from God's purposes in us. No literature is more realistic and honest in facing the harsh facts of life than the Bible. At no time is there the faintest suggestion that the life of faith exempts us from difficulties. What it promises is preservation from all the evil in them. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 8 says this: we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not driven to despair. This means that none of the troubles and trials of this life will ever have the power to separate us from the love of God. Psalm 46:2 says this: so we will not fear when earthquakes come and mountains fall into the sea. So, from the time that you turn to God in repentance to the day that you meet Him face to face in full glory, you are safe. He protects you. Nothing will be able to thwart his plans for your life or keep you from God's grace. And we are told in this song that God shelters us. In Psalm 91 verse 4, we can read about this protection. It says, "He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and your protection." It's close. We do not serve a distant God, but a God that holds us close like a mother gathers her chicks. In Romans 8:28, it says this, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes for them." In the Hillsong songs called Highlands, which was written in the Highlands of Scotland, Joel Houston writes this, "In the Highlands and the heartache, you're neither more or less inclined. So I will praise you on the mountain, and I will praise you when the mountain's in the way. You're the summit where my feet are, so I will praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows, no less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is, in the highlands and the heartache all the same." God's love for us and protection does not fade in and out dependent on what is happening in our lives. That is not true. And when we believe this, this is when we start to question God's faithfulness and his promises to us. The truth is, he is there through it all, keeping watch over you as you come and as you go forever. I want to show you a picture of us as a family that we took almost exactly a year ago to the day. Now, this is an interesting picture because from the first glance, we all look really happy. But if you look carefully at this photo, you can see a few telltale signs that there is a story to be told about the journey that led to this picture. There might be, and you might notice, a few blotchy faces or tears still in some people's eyes, and some hand holding. This was actually taken to celebrate our ascent to the top of the Munro Brook na Fríth. This adventure was at times amazing and breathtaking, where rivers were babbling and the sun was shining down on us. But at times, I'm not gonna lie, it was a terrifying ordeal. Our feet slipped, we were scared. Some were more terrified than others. There was some shouting in fear, so some sorries had to be said. We got lost too, as we usually do on these types of journeys. We had to jump over the wrong part of the river, as it said we were to jump over a trickling stream, but we actually had to kind of make our way over kind of a raging river. At one point, this kind of eerie mist came down upon us, and it was really frightening, and we thought, should we turn back? And some of us actually were crawling in the end because we just couldn't stand up, sometimes because it was just out of pure fear. And there was a lot of lifting our eyes up and praying and scrambling, but we made it. We made it to the top. Sometimes life feels a bit like that, but the providence of God is this: God is present and with us everywhere. Everywhere we go, in everything that we face, and we can be sure that his purposes and plans will come to pass for us. Every step we take on the journey, God is with us, no matter what we face. Though our faces are blotchy, and sometimes we lose our way, and we doubt the goodness of God, or we might go over on our ankle, though we want to turn back and the mist comes down, and we are sometimes crawling because we can't stand up, we can be sure of the promise of this psalm. We are guarded by God. Our life is in his hands. In the Message version, I just think it says this beautifully. It says this: "He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now He guards you always. We believe that through Jesus, the kingdom of God was breaking into the world. But we also know that our suffering and our trials didn't just disappear. And we can all testify to the fact that suffering and trials are still something that we have to deal with and that we are living through today. The kingdom of God is breaking in, but it was simultaneously here and yet to come. It was the now and the not yet. It's yet to come in all of its fullness in the future. And we live in this in-between times or this tension. We live in the overlapping age where we very much believe that the kingdom of God can break through at any moment in our lives. And actually, I have so many stories that I can tell you of this happening in my life. But we also know and also have many stories where this does not happen. And we live with the reality of this. But we continue to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we see people healed and we see miracles happen. But we live in the tension and the reality that we do not always see these things happen this side of heaven. And we look forward to the future hope we have that one day all things will be made new. But the promise we have here in this psalm is that in all of this tension between the now and the reality of the not yet, we can be assured God is always with us. And his plans for us will come to pass. He will guard us and love us. His love for us doesn't actually wane in and out depending on what is happening in our lives. It is constant in the good times and the bad. I was thinking about this psalm this week and the fact that Jesus would have most certainly sung it. We know that him and his family travelled to Jerusalem to celebrate these feasts. And part of that travelling would have been singing these songs of ascent. And I can so vividly imagine Jesus singing this one and looking up to the mountains. And there is something sacred in that, I think. We are saying the same words as Jesus did today, as we travel towards him. Think of all the saints who've gone before and who have not only said these words, but learned to trust in them and live them out in their lives. Now, I would love if we could end this morning with reading this psalm together collectively, wherever you are, whatever room you're in. It's interesting that the first two lines of this psalm are actually written in the first person. So it says, where does my help come from? But as we get further in, it switches to the second person. He will not let you stumble. He watches over you. This is corporate worship, as our relationship with each other directly is connected to our relationship with the Father. So as we read this today together, let's join with all the saints who've gone before and pray over ourselves, but also let's pray over each other as a community of God, as a family, building one another up. The words are going to appear on the screen, but let's go for it. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. Amen. Okay, I would love to spend time now just waiting on God and responding to what we've heard today. So let's make our bodies a posture of waiting on God and receiving from him. So please, let's just put out our hands and bow our heads as we wait on the Holy Spirit to come right now. Wherever you are, you're not alone. Holy Spirit, come. Rest on each and every one of us. I thank you, you're a God who is near. You're a God who comes among your people. And for those of us who just really, that was such a trigger today when we heard the words that we believe that God has abandoned us, God, help us. Help us to let go of that lie right now. We give it to you. Lift it off of us. And God, we say the truth that you never leave us. You never forsake us. We are secure. We are secure in the fact that we know that all things work together for the good of those who love him. And we are secure in the fact that we know that, Father God, you are always present with us. But more than that, God, you are eager. You love to be with your children. Help us to know that truth and live that truth out. Help us to know that you enable us to be all that you created us to be. And nothing will stop those plans. No circumstance. No circumstance that we have to live through. And God, for those who are hurting, who have felt that the rug has been pulled from under them right now, and whose security is shaken, help us to lift our eyes up. Lift our eyes up to you. And as we shout, help, God, we're shouting to you. We're asking you for our help. Come to us now. Speak your words of grace and truth and peace over us. And where there's fear and turmoil, God, bring peace. Bless us, God. Yeah, bless us. Guys, we might not be together, but we would love to pray for you. So if anything triggered in today's talk, just click the button and one of the leadership would love to pray for you. Or somebody from your small group, or maybe somebody who invited you to church, ask them to pray for you. Let's be a community this week, building each other up, praying this psalm over one another. Bless you. Amen.